Well, today we continue our series on God's plan for families that win. When we think about families that win, we often look at our family and want our family to be like somebody else's family. But the reality is this: God didn't make you to be like somebody else's family. God made you to be the family that He wants you to be and that He intended you to be. One of the things that can become a struggle in any relationship is communication. Communication can have a breakdown. Communication can become difficult because of our personalities, because of our backgrounds, just because of circumstances. And sometimes it's just hard to go ahead and have that communication. You know, when we're first thinking about getting married and we're dating, it seems like we over-communicate, right? I mean, you're in love and you let them know, hey, I love you, and those things just keep coming. At least that's the way it was when I was engaged to my wife. I mean, she was calling me all the time, telling me how wonderful I was and how much she loved me. And sometimes when you go ahead and get in a situation where you're with somebody every day, sometimes communication can be a little bit difficult. We lose sight of all the good things and we begin to notice the struggles just a little bit more. Anybody ever been there before? You go ahead and notice the difficulties. It happens with our children. They come out of the womb and we're right there with them and we hug them and we say, man, isn't this the best thing? And by the time they're teens, we're going, why did we do this? Anybody been there? Yeah, we have. I got a little picture sent to me yesterday, and here's what it said. It said, Encyclopedia Britannica for sale, all 45 volumes. Best offer. I recently got married and he knows everything. I don't need them anymore. You see, communication, sometimes we think we know everything. Sometimes we think we have the right answer. But here's the bottom line. Communication is difficult. And today we're going to talk about communication and encouragement because I really believe that the two go hand in hand together. Albert Mehrabian was groundbreaking and did some studies that were really groundbreaking studies on communication. And most of you have never heard of him. Most of you don't have a reason to hear of him. I went to undergrad and my major was communication. And I got to learn a lot about the process of communication. And one of the things that I was taught over and over and over and over is this: we use a lot of words, but only 7% of our communication comes from words. Only 7% of our communication comes from words. Now think about that. Just 7% comes from words. There's a percentage that comes from our vocal inflection and how we go ahead and do that. And then the rest of it comes from what we would call nonverbal communication. So if we begin to go ahead and put all of it together, here's the truth and here's the reality. 93% of the way that you communicate with those around you falls under this heading, nonverbal. That means it's this: it's your attitude, it's how you say something, it's what you don't say, it's the hug that does really matter, it's the eye roll. Anybody ever had the eye roll before? It's that goes ahead and makes a really big statement. Well, here's the reality. If we're going to go ahead and become better communicators, if we're going to reduce some of the friction and the frustration in our families and in our relationships, we need to learn how we can go ahead and become better communicators. And today we're not just talking about talking, all right? We're going to go back to the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at what Moses had to say in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, in the first 9 verses, it's not just about the Ten Commandments. It's not just about loving God with all of your heart. It's about how we communicate and how we can establish a pattern that will help our family win. When you think about communication and you think about this truth, I want you to remember that God was a master communicator. When we look at some of the things that God has done, God communicates in an incredible way, and He doesn't say a word. Do you know the Bible says that when we go out and look at creation, when we look at the skies and we look at the trees, when we look at the hills, we look at the valleys, we look at the vast waters, we look at it. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that God is communicating to you and I that there is a creator that has done something that we have the opportunity to be a part of, and He never says a word. The creation speaks volumes. Do you know that when Jesus was here and walked the face of the earth, most of the time when he was communicating, people would listen, they would hinge on every word that he had because he was a master storyteller. But do you know what they would often say after he was done? We've never heard it like that before. This guy speaks as someone who knows what he's talking about. This guy is different than what we've heard previously. So when we think about communication, if God speaks so much without saying a word and people listen to Jesus intently, one of the places that we ought to go to learn how to communicate is the Bible. So let's just dive in this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 6, the first 9 verses, and we're going to unpack these principles of communication. Here's what Moses is saying to the children of Israel. Now remember, the children of Israel have seen God do some incredible things. They've been a part of an incredible journey to this point. And here's what Moses is just going to kind of do for them and with them. He's going to recap some things and remind them of some basic truths. He says, now this is the commandment. And these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. There's command, there's teach, and there's observe. Those are important words. He says this, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now, if we read that real quick, we're kind of thinking, okay, I'm supposed to go ahead and teach them to my children and my children's children, and we're just going to keep passing this down. Well, that's the truth that's coming through, but there's far more that's there. He says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your own house and on your gates. When you look at what he says, I want you to go ahead and hear. I want you to go ahead and observe. Then I want you to begin to teach so that your children may take these into their life and they can learn them and then they can teach their children, and we just kind of get this plan and this path developed, and it's just kind of an ongoing process. Well, one of the things that stands out that we look at and that we just kind of think about for just a moment is as Moses is telling these people who are just like you and I, they've got faults and they've got failures. They've got some uncertainties about God. They often think, well, you know what? I've got this problem, but I think I can go ahead and do it my way, and the outcome is going to be all right. Forgetting that God's way is always the best way. Why? Because God wants you to win. God wanted them to win. Last Sunday, here's what we said about God's plan for families that win. That God has to be the foundation, and that God needs to be the center. God needs to be the focal point. He's not just somebody that we include occasionally, but he becomes the focal point of our life. He's the one that we go to. He's the one that we turn to. He's the one that we talk about conversationally in our homes. Well, today as we talk about communication, here's something that we really need to remember that Moses said in this passage of Scripture. Even though he didn't say it exactly like this, this is what he said in those first 9 verses that we just read. You want a good idea about communication? Here's the first thing that'll help you communicate and encourage the people in your family and have relationships that win. And here it is. Listen first, speak later. Listen first, speak later. Moses writes to the children of Israel, and here's what he says. He says, I want you to fear, and I want you to hear. He says, I want you to look back and remember that God has always had your back, and that God has always had your best at his heart. And here's what you need to do. You need to have such a respect for God that you want to listen to him first and foremost, and you don't want to miss anything that he has to say, that he has to share with you. Why? Because Moses says, if we remember the heart of God, here's what we're going to go ahead and be blessed with. We're going to go ahead and remember his heart. We're going to remember what he wanted for our life, and we're going to be able to hear his heart for our life. Do you know what the heart of God is in this passage of Scripture? Moses says, look, I want you to listen up, and I want you to pay attention, because God wants you to win. Get that. God was not telling Moses to tell the people again, here's what I want them to do, and I just want to command them because I can. This is not the moment where it's a because I said so moment. How many of you growing up loved it when mom or dad said that? You said, why do I have to do that? And quick came the response. I mean, I didn't even ask that question if dad was around, right? I mean, you just didn't ask it, because he would skip the because I said so, and he'd show you why you're going to go ahead and do that. I mean, it was a hands-on application, all right? We go ahead, we don't necessarily like the response sometimes of because I said so, and it's not always because we're being disrespectful. It's not always because we want our way. It's because we think that sometimes we're missing out on something that's there that nobody else sees. I want you to see that God said, I want you to listen first and speak later. I want you to observe and do things because I want you to win. That's the first thing. If you want your relationships to win, follow the pattern of communication that God gives to Moses and Moses gives to the people. And he says, listen to God first. You want to be a great communicator? Listen to the heart of God. You want a better marriage? Listen first, speak later. Listen to the heart of God and get his insight on the situation. Dig through the Scripture, find out what he has to say, and speak later. You want to go ahead and skip some arguments? You want to go ahead and reduce the frustration? No matter how old you are, listen first and speak later. What Moses lays out in this passage of Scripture is absolutely basic, and it's absolutely incredible when it comes to the whole process of communication. Because we can go ahead and we can line this up with what secular people would come up with, and here's what we're going to find. It would match, and the reason it matches is because originally it comes from God's Word, and God's truth never lets us down. There's an old saying that says this, you have two ears and one mouth. Why? So you can listen twice as much as you speak. Now here's the temptation. As a husband, you know what my temptation is? To go ahead and speak first and to listen later. Why? Because when it's something that's going on in a life, and when it's something that's going on in our family, I mean, I'm the one that knows the most about how to raise children, right? I'm the one that knows the most about projects around the house or how to take care of the family and what needs to be done later and all those things. I know the most. Why? Because I'm the man, right? Because that's just the way we're programmed sometimes in our life. Can I just let you in on a little secret? Sometimes you don't know as much as you think you do. Sometimes I don't know as much as I think I do. And you know what we really need to do? We need to listen first and speak later. Moses says, I want you to listen to what God is saying, because in this, you're going to hear God's heart. When's the last time you really listened to your spouse? When's the last time you really listened to your child, that teenager that might be frustrating, that little one that seems like it's just full of energy, and you say, man, I can't go ahead and keep up with that. When's the last time you listened and listened for their heart? You listened to all the things that they were saying, and you listened to all the things that they didn't say. You know what I've discovered? Sometimes people won't tell you what's really going on. You have to listen for what they don't say. I got a phone call not long ago from someone. They said, hey, how you doing? I said, I'm doing all right. And he said, no, you're not. I said, yeah, I am. He said, no, you're not. I can tell by the tone of your voice. I can tell by the pause and the gap that there's something that's wrong. What's going on? I'm here to listen. He didn't hear anything I said. He heard everything I didn't say. And what would happen if we would get that in touch and in tune with our spouse, with our kids, and just begin to listen. Listen for their heart. Because Moses said, look, you want to go ahead and have a family that wins? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen. Listen for the heart. Listen to what's really taking place and what's really unfolding. It says, listen. Listen to the heart. I could just stay here for a long time on the whole listening thing. Because if only 7% of our communication takes place by words and all kinds of other things are taking place, and it's really a nonverbal, that means that it's the body language. It is the eye roll. It is the sigh. It is the pushing back. All of those things that take place, we have to be in tune and pay attention as to what is really going on. Listening is important. I want to encourage you today to listen to your family, because they have a heart. Moses said, listen to God. God's heart is for you to win. And sometimes we need to listen to our family. We need to know what's going on in their life. And the way we know what's going on is to listen. They have a heart, and that heart might be hurting. They have a heart, and that heart might be filled with needs that words can't go ahead and just take care of, but listening can go ahead and remind them that we care. Listening can go ahead and make the impact that while we may not know what to say, we're there. And it's a place where they can share. The second thing is this, to go ahead and act more. Act more. Go ahead and worry about saying something a little bit later. I want to go ahead and just read down through here quickly. I want to go ahead and just catch some of these verses again. Verse number one, he says, which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. He says he wants to teach you, but then he says this, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. He says that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. You and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Do you know what he says? Again, in verse number three, he says, therefore hear. Why do they need to hear? So that they can go ahead and do. In verse number four again, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Then he tells them what needs to take place and how they need to love God with all their heart, with all their strength, with all their might. He says, I want you to go ahead and I want you to listen first, speak later. Why? Why do we listen so much to God? Because God has his best for our intention. And he wants us to go ahead and win. He says, I want you to act more than you speak. Why? Because sometimes it's good for us to fear, hear, and then observe, right? We go ahead and we fear God, we respect God, because God has his best interest for our life at stake. And our families ought to know that we have their best interest. I can tell you this today, there was a lot of things that I never understood when I was growing up as to why my dad would tell me we were going to go ahead and do something, but I never doubted that he loved me, and I never doubted and I never questioned, does he have my best interest at heart? Because I knew that he loved me, and I knew that I could respect him and trust him, and here's why, because he was willing to act more than he spoke. There's an old saying that says this, what you're doing speaks so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. And sometimes we just want our children especially to hear our words, but when they're hearing our words, our actions aren't matching up. So sometimes it's just creating a lot of confusion. It's just creating a lot of trouble. It's creating a lack of clarity in our relationship with them. Sometimes it's the same thing with our spouse. We go ahead and we say, I love you. We say you're important, but the time is not there. The hug is not there. An affectionate hug, guys, with no further intentions, right? I mean, sometimes that needs to take place. That's an important thing in the relationship. of a husband and wife. We begin to go ahead and just look at our life and we begin to say, am I acting more than I'm speaking? Am I going to go ahead and just do what needs to be done to demonstrate love and to clearly communicate the truth of God and who He is and what He really is all about? Over and over and over in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in those first 9 verses is this. It's to go ahead and hear so that we can observe. Moses says, I want you to listen, and I want you to listen first so that you can go ahead and begin to do, and after you're doing and after you're observing, then you can go ahead and teach. It needs to go together. What he's saying is this: people don't necessarily want to hear what's real in your life. They're going to see what's real in your life. And in the family, there's no greater truth than that. We can go ahead and we can talk, but what we're going to be doing is going to speak much louder than what we say. I could stay there for a long time, but we've got to move on just for the sake of time. Here's a third thing that comes out in verse number 6. He says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Why do they need to go ahead and get to our heart? He starts off and he says, I want you to go ahead and listen first. I want you to speak later. I want you to go ahead and act more than you speak. That just means to go ahead and have some actions that are consistent. Some actions that are taking place to live the Word of God, to communicate the Word of God, to communicate His love, to not talk about how much you love your wife continually without demonstrating it. The Bible says that Christ loved the church so much that He gave His life for it. And the Bible also says that husbands, we're to go ahead and love our wives as Christ loved the church. That means there has to be a demonstration. There has to be some action. There has to be a picture of that love. Act more than we speak. But then Moses tells us, I want God's word to be in your heart. Why? Because clean hearts bring clear relationships. Clean hearts bring clear relationships. I just want to go ahead and just give us just a little picture this morning of something that's really important. Clear hearts go ahead and bring clean or clear relationships. You see, the Bible teaches us this. In the book of Matthew, it says this, out of the heart proceed the issues of life. It goes ahead and tells us this truth. Not only out of the heart proceed the issues of life, but Jesus says this. Jesus says this truth. Jesus says, for out of the heart, the tongue speaks. He says, the things that are abundant in your heart, that's what comes out of it. So as we're going through life and we're communicating and we go ahead and let our spouse know we love them, we go ahead and we communicate and we're doing that, and then we got other family members that are there, or maybe it's a coworker or whatever, we go ahead and we say, I love you, I care about you, hey, you're important, whatever it might be. We go ahead and move down through a little bit, and we just keep passing out a little bit of love here and there. And some people are really easy to communicate with, so we go ahead and we do that. Kind of interesting, we communicate a little bit here, a little bit there. Sometimes we communicate just a little bit more, but we go ahead and we just communicate through life, and some people get it, and spades, and some people get a little bit less. But do you know what the problem is? And do you know why Moses said, look, I want you to go ahead and let the Word of God get in your heart? Because this, how many of you ever get angry? Let's just be honest. Let's have an honest moment in church. There's a lot of liars here this morning. How many of you ever get frustrated? Anybody ever get frustrated? How many of you ever have a hard time forgiving? Yeah, we have a hard time forgiving. How many of you are ever happy? Yeah. How many of you would like to be happy more? Yeah, you go ahead, put two hands up for that. Well, here's the reality. All of the things that I just talked about are things that come from the heart. You see, when there's anger in my heart, when there's frustration in my heart, when there's bitterness in my heart, when there's resentment in my heart, do you know what's going to happen? It's going to go ahead and come out. And here's what takes place. We go ahead and we have a little bit of frustration, little bit of aggravation. Do you know what happens? That child comes home, they don't do so well on their report card. We go ahead and we speak into their life and we say, man, I knew you couldn't do it. Just one little phrase. one little phrase. Not much, just a moment. Just one little moment of anger that says, hey, I really don't believe in you. You know what it does? One phrase changed the entire picture, right? One. Here's the truth about communication. It can be said to a child. It can go ahead and be said to a spouse. It can go ahead and be words of anger, or it could go ahead and be words of encouragement. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. The Bible says that here's what happens. I'm going to speak. I'm going to communicate from my heart, and it's going to end up in your life. So Moses says, look, all these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Why? Because what works its way into your heart will work its way out in your life. What works its way into your heart are going to be things that you're going to say to your spouse. You're going to say them to your kids. You're going to say them to your coworkers. You're going to say them to people that you love, that you truly do care about, but the frustration's going to come, and it's going to come out, and here's the reality. It changes the entire picture of someone else's outlook and oftentimes someone else's life. I'm not making any excuses in any way, shape, or form what happened this past week in Florida. But you mark my words, and those of you who are educators and have any kind of background at all in family, it's going to come out that the young man never had a chance at home. He didn't have coaches that poured into his life. He didn't have parents that poured into his life and told him that he could go ahead and go above and beyond. And it is no excuse. And I'm not saying that he's a victim of a situation. I am saying that words impact not only an individual life, but they impact countless lives. And we can't go ahead and say, man, I had a bad background, I had a bad upbringing, and place all of our problems on it. I'm just saying we need to be aware that our words, our actions, how we communicate, and who we communicate with makes a tremendous impact. One little phrase goes ahead and changes the outlook of someone's life. And all the while, it could have been said different. When that child brings home the report card that doesn't make you happy, the best thing to do is not to tell them that they're dumb and that you knew they couldn't do it. You say, how do you know? Because I'm standing here this morning as a voice of experience. I brought home some bad report cards. I brought home some difficult conversations that were going to be there. And do you know what my father would tell me? My dad would say, son, do you know why I'm disappointed? It's because I know you got more potential. And I know that you can go ahead, and I know that you can do better. And because I know that you have more potential, and because I know that you can do better, we're going to go ahead and pull out some of that potential, and we're going to do better, and we're going to set your life up to where you can go ahead and do better the next 6 weeks. Why? Because he understood the importance of words. He wasn't going to tell me I was dumb, because I wasn't. He wasn't going to go ahead and say, man, I knew you were going to fail. Because he knew that those words were extremely counterproductive. Not going to go ahead and motivate much change at all. We want less friction in our relationships. We want a family that wins. Then we need to go ahead and take some steps to listen first. Speak later. We need to go ahead and remember that our words are powerful. We need to act more than we speak, because that action, that nonverbal communication, God said, I want you to hear these things so you can observe them, not so that you can go ahead and line everybody else out and leave them out of your life. He says, listen, then go ahead and follow, and then go ahead and begin to speak. But remember, we've got to keep our heart clean, because what comes out of our heart is going to go ahead and be communicated into somebody else's life. Let me just ask you right now, just to evaluate where you're at in your relationships, and to be honest and say, what am I communicating into the hearts and lives of my family? What am I communicating into my children's life? What am I communicating into my spouse's life? What am I communicating? You see, what's in our heart is going to go ahead and come out of our heart. But then we go ahead and we go just a little bit further. And then we're going to be taught to go ahead and speak the truth. It says in verse number 7 that you shall teach them diligently and shall talk of them when you go into your house and when you walk by the way. Do you know what he's saying now? He says now we're going to speak truth in love. We're going back to God's principle, and here's what we do. We speak the truth first and foremost with love. We speak the truth with love. We go ahead and begin to share the love of God in our relationships. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 15, it says, but speaking the truth in love, that they may grow up into him. Who's the him? It's Jesus Christ. It says, even the head of the church. It says this, that the goal of our communication in relationships is to help people mature and to become more of what Jesus wants them to be. What would happen if we began to go ahead in our family settings, in our marriage, with our children, and go ahead and take time and speak words and communicate the truth in love so that they could go ahead and become more of what Jesus wants them to be? Think about that. Communicate truth in love so that they can become more of what Jesus wants to be. We need to communicate truth in love with encouragement. Solomon, the wisest man to ever live, in Proverbs chapter 25, gave us these words. He said, a word of encouragement, he says it, a word fitly spoken, a word at the right time is like apples of gold in settings of silver. A word of encouragement. Can I just tell you something? That the people that were most difficult in my life and the people that were the hardest on me were also my greatest encouragers. Moms and dads, you can challenge your kids. You can have discipline. You can have boundaries. You know what? They need it. They need it. And whether they tell you that or not, they want it. But don't always go ahead and come to a place that in our relationships, all we do is criticize. There has to be plenty of room for encouragement. Plenty of room to go ahead and build up. Words of affirmation, words of appreciation, words that are just a thank you, not words that are always critical. My first baseball coach, my first football coach, he was tough. He just was. I'll never forget this. He was tough, and he was hard, and he had high expectations. And he would make us run, but he always, 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 always encouraged. And one night there was a man that he knew that volunteered to help. And that man came out and he volunteered to help and be a part of the team. And he lit in on a kid and he cussed. And my coach that was tough and hard, and I'm certain he knew some of those words as well. He went over and he stopped him and he said, you don't talk to my boys like that. You get in your car and go home. Because we're here to bring out the best in them. Now I want to tell you something. You can be difficult, you can challenge, but you also need to give some encouragement. The Bible says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Society says it like this, encouragement is like oxygen, it gives you life. Encouragement is like high-octane fuel, it takes the knock out of life. How many times do we need someone to speak truth in love, someone to speak encouragement? But Ephesians chapter 4 teaches us this as well, that we need to speak truth with purpose. Ephesians chapter 4, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, except that which is edifying to build up and to minister grace unto those that hear. You know what that says? That says the communication that takes place not only in the church house amongst each other, but in our homes ought to be communication that has a purpose, that ministers grace, that builds up. Today, I want you to make it your mission to go ahead and listen a little bit more and speak less. I want you to go ahead and make it your mission to go ahead and not only speak more or listen more and speak less, but to act more and speak later. To go ahead and have a clean heart so that you can have a clear relationship. So that it doesn't go ahead and taint and discolor. I want you to go ahead and speak the truth in love, with encouragement, and on purpose. But I want you to remember this last simple point, and it's this: to make the last word a good word. To make the last word a good word. You notice in verse 7 and 8 and 9, it says the words of God need to be posted all around the house that when people are coming and going, they're going to see him and remember him. Here's the reality. One of the principles that we learn is as people are leaving the home, the last word needs to be a good word. As people are coming home, the first word needs to be a good word. I don't know whether you struggle with having to have the last word in every conversation or not. I don't know whether you struggle with having to have the last word in an argument. I mean, I can have a moment of honesty. Sometimes I like to have the last word. Right? I just like to get that one last thing in. That one last phrase. Oh, that'll do it. Proved my point right there. See, there's a temptation to have the last word, but the reality is this. The last word needs to be a good word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26 says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It says, don't be angry and don't speak angry. It says, don't be angry and don't go to bed angry. Some people say, I just solved that. I just get angry and don't go to bed. Make the last word a good word. Be willing to say, I love you. Make that the last word. Maybe the last word needs to be, I forgive you. Maybe the last word needs to be a moment where we swallow our pride and we say, I'm sorry. Maybe the last word, it needs to be, forgive me. Maybe the last word needs to be, I was wrong. You see, sometimes we need to step up and say some of those words. Sometimes we need to go ahead and share those words because sometimes the last word really needs to be the right word, the good word, the word that we search for, the word that's on target. You see, you never know what the last words in a conversation are going to be. So make them good words. Make them good words. Make the words that you speak to your family good words. You see, when we began to look at communication and we talked about it, we communicate with a lot of people, and undoubtedly there's things that come along that come out of our heart that get into other people's lives. And over here, everything looks clean and clear, and the reason is because we can't see the inside. You see, I can't see your heart, and you can't see my heart, but we know some things that are on the inside, and typically what happens is things come out of our heart, and they end up in somebody else's life. Do you know what that means? Things that come out of my life are going to go ahead and repeat in the lives of people that I communicate with. Can I tell you something? It's extremely important. Why are we talking about communication and family? That's how you talk to your wife is going to be how your son talks to his wife, or how your little girls think that it's normal for a husband to talk to the wife. So what that means is this: the way you talk is most likely going to be what your children repeat. You need to ask yourself, is that what you want your kids to repeat? Is that what you want the future family to look like? Is that where you want it to go? Moms, how you respond to your husband and how you love him, how you speak to him, all those same things, your kids are going to see it. They're going to go ahead and look and say, okay, this is normal. They're going to go out and they're going to repeat it. What's the answer? It's communication that comes from the heart, and it's a clear heart and a clean heart. And the reality is this, there's nothing that can go ahead and change it except the love and the grace of God. And here's what happens. We can go ahead and we can take the things that come out of our heart into somebody else's life, and the love and the grace of God can go ahead and change it. But the reality is this, it has to go ahead and come from an outside source. You and I have a lot of trouble undoing what's been done on our own. We can go ahead and try and clean it up. We can try and make things just a little bit better, but the only way it's going to go ahead and get cleaned up, and the only way our communication is going to go ahead and become more of what it needs to be and get back to a clearer state in our life and to be changed, is to go ahead and have the love and the grace of God that's going to take the stain out of our heart and out of our life. Today, you want better communication and you want a family that wins. Can I tell you something? Listen to God. Act more. Speak less. Have a clean heart that leads to a clear relationship. Speak the truth in love, encouragement, and purpose. And make certain that the last word is a good word. And you can't communicate without the help of God. Make sure you have a clean heart in your relationship with Him, because a clean heart is going to bring clear communication in your life and relationships. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we need your help. And Father, today we've gone longer than what we typically go. Father, there was a lot to say and a lot that needed to be said. Father, I pray that you would help us to hold on to the basic truths, and that you will help us to go ahead and to listen for your heart so that we can communicate it to those that we love, those in our family. Father, help us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe you're here today and you've not ever accepted the love and the forgiveness of Jesus, but you would like to. Maybe you would say, John, I've got some frustration. I've got some things going on in my life that I truly need some help with. Maybe today you would like to know about the love of Jesus and who he is and all that he can do. Maybe you would say, I just want to know more. If that's you today, the moment we begin to sing at invitation time, just leave your place and come. We'll have someone take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus is your Savior, how he's alive and well and wants to work in your life. Maybe you're here today and you would say, John, I've got some things, honestly, that I need to work on in my relationships. I need to go ahead and speak a little bit better. I need to speak more highly. I need to share some things in a different way. I need to listen to God more so that I can go ahead and share that in my relationships. Maybe that's you. Maybe you need to come and just pray for your family today, whatever it might be. Just let God speak to your heart. Would you stand with me, please? If God speaks to your heart and you want to step out and come and pray and want someone to pray with you, we'll have someone to pray with you. If you know the words to the song, I invite you to sing it along. But most importantly, I encourage you just to let God have his way in your heart today.